The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
What's going on, everybody? This is the True Wealth Radio Show. Today, I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio...
Justin Brueggemann.
Awesome. Justin, thanks for filling in for David while he was out today.
Enjoying spring break.
Right. I appreciate you being here. I think we've got a really great show for our listeners today. And, you know, when we sat down and thought about, you know, what do we want to talk about today, I think this was a really good... opportunity to say, hey, let's just take a step back from the conversation of just building wealth and trying to, you know, grow that thing as much as possible. And then looking at, you know, well, how do you grow it the right way? Right?
Yeah, and in a healthy way.
Yeah. And so I think today's show is really focusing on building up your wealth or building money that is structured more around like a healthy relationship with money.
Right.
And so...
And outside of money, I guess.
Yeah, like what are some of the things that you can do outside of just building your wealth that improve your life so that wealth just comes a little bit more naturally, I think.
Right. And so like when going through this kind of section of this, I guess the question we're asking is, are you building wealth to support your life or building a life around chasing wealth?
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And, you know, if all you're doing is the chase, you know, for wealth, then you're giving up some stuff on the other side, which, depending on the person, that may not be the top priority. And rather than figuring out what parts in your life can be adjusted to maintain your lifestyle or what lifestyle you actually want to live, it can change by person to person.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, there was a quote, I don't know who said it, so don't quote me on it, but it is a quote. It says, wealth building works best when life at home is stable. If your family, health, and habits are in chaos, more money won't fix it. It'll magnify the pressure.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a pretty powerful quote, right? Because, like, if the home life is solid, like, the wealth building becomes easier.
Right.
And if things are kind of in shambles, it's really hard to justify the wealth building when it's like, hey, you know, everything else isn't on track. And so I think that's a really important one, right? Like, and it's not just like family life. It's also like your physical health.
Yeah.
Right. And so like taking care of your own body. And if all of that is chaos, like you said, money can't fix that. It just kind of amplifies the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, we get this question a lot is, can I retire? It's a huge question all the time.
Sure.
And it's different for every single person.
It is.
Some want to travel. Some want to spend more time with grandkids. Some want to, you know, just not work. And so everybody's lifestyle is very different depending on what their goals are and what they want. But having the, you know, the healthy relationships with family and friends and the health of your body, that can change a financial plan real quick. Because longevity comes into play, too.
Right. And I think when we were show prepping a little bit, one of the things you brought up was, like, what are some of the principles behind this about healthy living and stuff? And one of the ones that I really liked that you had mentioned was this concept of, like, peace that precedes prosperity, right? Like, if you can get some emotional clarity, that goes a really long ways, and here's why, right? Like, too often, I don't think we realize this, that financial decisions are often made out of either fear or impulse, right? And so if you're living in a state of fear, panic, like you're going to do things that aren't always like rational, right? And so when your mind is calm, your money moves are also typically a little bit more calculated.
Yeah, if you're trying to deal with chaos, It just magnifies.
It just becomes a tornado of destruction, right? So that's a good one.
And I think David said this to me one time, as you know, his conversation about spending money, and he said, if you're saying yes now, what are you saying no to later?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And if you're saying no now, what are you saying yes to later?
Mm-hmm.
With regards to spending. And that one kind of hit kind of hard. It's like, oh, you know, to kind of think of the longer term game of what's going on.
Right.
But one of these principles I also really love is purpose before pace.
Ooh, talk to me about that one. What do you have in mind behind that?
You know, not chasing wealth in the wrong ways,
mm-hmm.
or trying to make the quick dollar that doesn't necessarily magnify long-term growth.
Right.
Not saying that the quick dollar isn't a good thing.
Right.
We like the quick dollar.
But if you're pacing yourself too hard and too fast, you like burnout, right?
Yeah. And what are you sacrificing? Time with your family, time mm-hmm. with your wife, time
exactly.
with your friends. And, you know, to some people that works.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for the majority of people, that's not typical.
Yeah.
Man,
in the spouse thing that you mentioned, that's a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you throw kids into the mix. And I think oftentimes as parents, like you have this thing imprinted in your brain that you got to put the kids first or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to someone speak on this recently, and they were talking about how it's so important that you prioritize the marriage, right? At the very kind of top tier of that hierarchy. And the logic is, right, like if the marriage is really, really strong, kids, by nature, they watch parents and then they mimic that behavior, right? Or it
followed
like,
by
or
example.
It makes an impression, yeah. And so if as parents you've got a really healthy, good working relationship, you know, that's going to stick with them throughout their life and they're more prone to have healthy relationships themselves. Whereas if you're constantly putting them first and always trying to make them happy,
mm-hmm.
right, they get this feeling that all life is about is just making me happy.
Right.
And that's a really, really slippery, dangerous slope. And so I think that's a good one that you talked
about. Especially if you go down it for quite a while, because then it's hard to correct it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, you know, maybe that's something where you can kind of reflect and think about it and say, like, because I'm guilty of that one, right? Like, I think too often I'm looking at my own child and saying, hey, like, I got to carve out this time. And then you wake up and you're like, gosh, it's been 6 months since I've been on a date with my wife.
Right.
And it's like, that's not good. Right. And so I think that strengthening the marriage, strengthening everything there sets a really good foundation for healthy kids. And then with that, also healthy finances.
Yeah. And I like this one too, is wealth without wellness is a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, you know, the length of sleep you're getting at night, the, you know, good quality sleep and things like that, and diet and things like
right.
that really does, you know, can clear thinking, especially when making larger financial decisions or even, you know, everyday decisions. I mean, how many times have you, you know, come home from the office and stopped and got something? You're just like, I'm just going to grab this, and you don't think anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just also because of fatigue and,
right.
you know, just solving the problem really quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what's interesting? And I don't know if it's in this show prep or not. I don't remember where I saw it, but someone was talking about like generational wealth, right? And
mm-hmm.
that's been a real big topic that's kind of trendy and popular lately. And this person was saying, like, and maybe instead of chasing the generational wealth, just try and be more present in the moment,
mm-hmm.
because like you got to think, what do say like your kids really value, right? It's like they value you right now in this moment. They're not concerned
right.
about what you leave them. And I think oftentimes as parents, like we get this feeling like, man, we got to like leave all of this stuff for our kids. And at the end, you know, I think what maybe those kids are going to look back on is like, what memories did they leave me with? Like, what core values did they teach
right.
me? Not like, what stuff did they leave? And I think you can probably attest to this too. Like, how many times have you had a client say to you, I don't really care about what my parents leave me, right? Because
right.
like, I'm going to have a hard time even spending that money. I just want them, right? And so it's like, we got to really think about the relationship side of this
before
we can even start having the conversation about the money and what we're leaving.
Yeah, especially with the kids. Like, I've seen a video also of, you know, these people questioning kids, asking if they could have a meal with anybody in the world, like who it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And like 80% of them said their mom and their dad.
Isn't that wild?
You know, and they asked the parents first, which the parents, you know, were, you know, the president
or,
you know, whoever, you know, random people. And then they turn around and ask the kids the same questions without the parents in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And like 80% plus the answer was just dinner with mom and dad.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, that is wild.
Well, you got to think about it. Who's a kid's favorite person oftentimes?
Usually mom.
Yeah, mom, right? Yeah. And so... Yeah, I think it's good to maybe take a moment to just kind of change the perspective and think about things from a little bit different.
And figuring out what's most important to you,
mm-hmm.
You know, and to your family, and what's best for your family. And the different stages in life will change based on, you know, responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me and you, for this matter, we both have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our kind of needs are kind of last.
It's
usually put kids, wife first, mm-hmm. and then, you know, we get what's left over.
Right.
If there is some. Yeah. That's not quite what that is, but to an extent, you know, if you're going to put braces on your teeth or your kids, if they're older, mm-hmm. the kids probably first.
Yeah. Yeah, that stability piece, it's a big mm-hmm. deal. It's often, I think, a little underrated, but that calm home, strong support system, and healthy habits just kind of compound over time, and then it just trickles into your financial interests, I feel like. So
yeah, and I think when you have stability in more aspects of your life, it creates stability in the financial side as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so healthy home, healthy life, healthy lifestyle does kind of transition sometimes into a healthier financial situation.
Right, and I think as we kind of keep talking about all of this, one of the things that I kind of would like to throw out there is, you know, are you building wealth to support your life, or are you building a life around chasing wealth, right? It's that concept. And so what is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big focus. So like, what's the goal? What's the plan? What's the purpose of the money? And I think we've talked about this a little bit before in the past, but I think we're going to take a whole different angle on it
mm-hmm.
when we come back. But what we need to do right now is take our first profit break. So when we get back, let's talk about the purpose behind that money. All right. You guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm Matt Dixon, and with me in studio today is...
Justin Bruggeman.
Justin, where do we leave our listeners off, and kind of where is this conversation headed? Do you want to kind of like recap what we talked about in the first segment?
Yeah. So we kind of talked about the powers of having a strong foundation, which pretty much means, I guess, maintaining healthy lifestyles, healthy relationships, you know, your body health, and it creates those routines of good habits that can also build to, you know, financial health as well. For that matter. And now we're kind of moving to money with a purpose.
Mm-hmm. The purpose piece, what a big deal that is, because most people don't actually just want money, right?
Right.
They actually are really wanting what they think that money can give them.
Right.
And that is a very, very big difference that I think we need to touch on, because I think everyone has this idea that, well, if I have enough money, I can do blank.
Right.
And sometimes that is true, right? Like sometimes like you just can't afford it if you don't have it.
Right.
But I think you need to ask yourself, okay, if I get the money, what am I going to do with it? And how is that going to affect my life? Because sometimes there's a really noble cause behind what it is that you're trying to do, and there's just no other way to do it other than to make more money, right? Like, that's just a reality. But I think a lot of people aren't in that boat. They just want more so that they can go buy the fancier car, or they want to go on the second vacation, or like whatever it is, right? And so they're like, well, if I have those things, then life will be better.
Right.
So I think you got to ask yourself really, like, what is it for? And is what it's for the right cause?
Defining the why.
Yeah.
Why more?
Yeah, why more? So, like, what's the purpose?
And most commonly, it's either time.
To buy yourself back more time.
Time.
No, that's a big one, I think. Are you trying to buy yourself more time with your family? That can be a really big one. Are you trying to buy yourself more security?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you've only got $3,000 in your bank account, well, that's pretty unsettling, right?
Right.
So security is a big piece. Or, you know, for some people, it's meaning, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, well, if I have this money, I'm going to be able to go do this thing that impacts other people, right?
Right.
Like, for some people, maybe it's they want to just tithe more at their church and they want to be really generous givers, or they want to start a scholarship, right? And create a legacy fund. So there's that meaning piece too. So there's a lot of reasons for it. And so I think defining it helps you get closer to your plan.
Right.
Right. And I know we've talked
about having
show.
A plan.
Yeah. Like, do you have like an actual
right.
budget?
Right.
Like, do you know what your fixed expenses are versus kind of like the luxury or the fluff in the budget,
right.
stuff that you can get rid of? Because if you start to get down to the real raw numbers, you're going to know what you need. And once you know what you need, now you know what you're working towards.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big piece, I think, is having a very, very clear, very numerical response to like what it is that you're doing and why.
Yeah, a clear purpose. And I mean, this even says money goals without a purpose is like running on a treadmill.
Yeah.
You're working a lot harder, but you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if the money doesn't have a purpose, what happens typically is you do end up making more money and then it gets blown on something stupid.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're right back where you were, you know, before you were working hard, and what did you give up in that process to get to where you were?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, kind of comes back, you know, to kind of segment one is purpose before pace, because you can have a quick pace to get to somewhere really quick and then blow it, and then you're just starting over again.
Well, like, you know, you just touched on purpose again from segment one. I think purpose also applies to this segment as well, because purpose does something. It filters out noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to think, like, when you are building wealth, too often I think people are comparing their path to the path of others.
Right.
And so then it's like this noise in your head of like, is what I'm doing good enough because this person's doing that? And it often comes from social media, right?
Of course.
And then you have to really understand something. Some people live their entire life for the image of what other people are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're not seeing is the despair and the misery behind the scenes of what's going on that you never get a glimpse of. And so filter out that noise. Quit looking at what other people are doing. Know what your goal is and make it personal,
right?
So,
I mean, you can see a lot of things on social media, and even like you can go with money, relationships, kids, anything. It's 17-second show.
Mm-hmm.
Behind that show, do you actually know the genuine happiness or, you know, financial situation of those people that, you know, you're following or, you know, you're really into and you want that life, but you don't know what that life actually is?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you're the architect of this thing, right? Like, you're not the algorithm, so you can't just default to what everyone else is doing.
Right.
You have to really design a plan that fits around your life, not just someone else's definition of success.
So
that is a really big, I think, kind of principle of this is you've got to design it. You can't just be affected by it. Like, how many people these days are like, oh, I'm just like at the mercy of the system?
Right.
Right?
It's a lot.
No. I mean, to some extent you can be, but at the end of the day, you can control the outcome because you're the one that's designing your life. And so design it how you want it to look.
And aligning your plan with your values is huge.
Yeah.
Because if you're not seeing the value in other than the monetary value in what you're doing, then that will probably get burnt out eventually.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you got to, and I think we kind of touched on that earlier. Like, what is the value? Some people, it's faith, right? Some people, it's the legacy. So it's not just the income. Like, what is it that you're really trying to live for? And then hone in on that. So that's really good, Justin.
Yeah, the big, if your money had a mission, what would it be? It needs to be written out.
Okay, so if you're listening to this show right now, Justin's encouragement to you, get out a pen and paper and write down what is it that you're shooting for here. Like, what is it
goals?
That is important to you? And if you're married, don't just have this conversation by yourself. Sit down with your spouse. Get on the same page. How many times have we heard of a married couple and they don't really do a good job of communicating, and so they're pushing really hard, right? Like, one hand is on the plow and then the other, you know, you're looking behind yourself like, where are we going?
You're almost playing tug of war.
Yeah, and you don't really, you guys aren't going in the same path. So get on the same plow and go in the right direction.
And even what I've recommended in the past sometimes is do it separately first and then come back and then do it together and see how much it changes.
That's a dangerous recommendation.
It is a dangerous recommendation, but what a lot of times, especially in marriage and things like that, is you have one person that can kind of overtake. And if you just do it straight together, that can kind of get overtaken apart, and the one that isn't typically overtaken,
the one that doesn't speak a lot, you make a good point.
And so then you get all of the actual information, and then there's some give and take. There's give and take in marriage. And so maybe these goals don't align, as a couple, but maybe those are, all right, we have some couple goals and some individual goals.
Maybe
on
you can
kind
of find the overlap.
Exactly.
Even if you can't come to an agreement, maybe you can find that one spot that's the overlap, and then at least you know each other's values. And I think as you grow and as you mature, a big piece there is like, you're going to start to want to like make the other person happy, right?
100%.
And like their goals become your goals. So the key part is what you just said, figure out what it is, because as time goes on, I think those roads will get closer and closer together, and you're going to get more linked up on what it is that you're fighting for.
And write it down. And create the goals and do some short-term and some long-term. I mean, if your only goal is, I want to buy $1 million house and you're 25 years old.
Stuff like that, yeah.
It's too far away. I mean, by the time you get, unless my kids will be out of the house.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't need
it's
bigger.
Like, what are the goals while the kids are in the house?
Right.
2 years out, 3 years out, stuff
even,
like that.
Even 6 month goals, 2 year goals, 5 year goals, 10 year goals, having all of them is great. But you also get, you want some wins.
Yeah.
And so if it is struggling to saving, like an emergency fund, get $3,000 in the savings account that you don't touch. That's a win.
Right.
Little wins help.
Yeah.
Tremendously.
And I think one of the things that I do, like my wife and I do together, is we try and layer our goals to where like it's like a natural progression, right?
Right.
And so taking this goal and you say, this is a multi-step strategy, right? Like if this domino gets knocked down, how does it affect this domino? And then looking at like everything that you've got going on as a whole and then saying, okay, well, like what if we're successful with that and it changes this and then it changes that? Where are we 5 years from now? And if you can answer those questions, man, I think you're money ahead for it. But Justin, we're kind of starting to run long on this segment. So let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about burnout, okay? So Yeah, how do we burn out? How do we prevent ourselves from doing that? But first, we got to take this obscene profit break. So, you guys are listening to 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host today, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio, the legendary, the one, the only...
Justin Bruggeman.
All right, there he is. All right, folks, so if you didn't happen to catch the first half of the show, you can always go to our website, littlejohnfs.com, and catch that. It gets posted. Justin, we've been talking today about how money is more than just growing it, right? Because
right.
You can grow it and be miserable.
Right.
How do you grow it and be happy? And how do you really approach life with more than just a attitude or a mentality of more will fix it? So I think we're really focusing on that. And then when we left everyone off at the last break, the conversation had turned into burnout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of want to talk about or lead me into what it is that we're talking about here?
Yeah. Let's see. You can be a better builder without being in a rush. Sustainable wealth comes from systems, not stress. You know, and a kind of key, you know, I guess, principle, I guess we can call it, is steady beats flashy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $500 a month over 30 years will outperform sprints.
Yeah, I've heard so many stories about people that do, like, really well in business, for example, right?
Uh-huh.
They've got a really good company going. And they get that first $20,000-$30,000, and they go and they put it all on some obscure cryptocurrency, for example.
Okay.
That they're like, "Well, I'm gonna get rich," and here we go, and something happens, and then all that money disappears,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, "Okay, I'm just gonna work really hard and do it again." And then they get that money, and they're like, "Well, what's the next thing that I need to invest in?"
Right.
And then they invest in something they don't know, and it goes sideways again. And so I think what you're trying to say is the best investor is someone who takes a calculated risk, right?
Right.
And is consistent. And so you're talking about, like, what if you just invest $500 a month for 30 years and you don't even really necessarily invest in anything too flashy?
Right.
Right? Like, that might be, and I'm not saying that it is, it might be a better option than going and risking it all on black at the casino.
I can almost guarantee you it's a better option.
Okay.
At least, what, is it 51% of the time it'll be a better option?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. The odds.
Or whatever your odds are.
Yeah, so steady. And I think when we look at people like Warren Buffett, right, he's a perfect example of he just wanted to buy companies that appeared to have a lot of value to them. And did he always make the right pick? No.
No.
But I also think that I saw some stat, and don't quote me on this, but like the majority of his wealth was actually built after the age of 50. Like, if you look at, like, as a percentage
probably,
of his,
yeah.
The percentage of his wealth, most of it came after 50, and it was just a time-based thing, right? Like, look at where he started. I think it was
compound interest time,
right? Like, was it a vending machine or a bubblegum machine? He started, and then he bought some land, and then he just kept trying to invest in assets that would give him more wealth. And so, as long as you're doing, you know, small things right over a
mm-hmm.
long period of time, that's typically a pretty good way to succeed. And so, you know, I think kind of moving out of that one and into the next idea of like this automation over adrenaline concept, right? And basically what that means is if you're investing with consistency,
mm-hmm.
right, that is often a better method than just getting super hyped up on that adrenaline and saying, I'm just going to go all in right now
right.
in this moment. And a lot of people are that way. They're reactionary, and it goes back to the beginning of the show, right? Like if you're letting fear or impulse take over, you're going to do rash things, like say, I've got to make it, let me throw everything I have at blank.
Right.
So.
Welcome to the casino.
Yeah.
Why do they give you a room and things like that? Because the odds, if you stay there longer, of them winning are higher and higher and higher than they already are anyway.
Sure. Yep. So, but we were talking about burnout, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you not burn out? Don't get in a rush, right? Value that steady growth over that emotional roller coaster. And here's a quote that I really, really like. And it kind of goes back to that mention I had of adrenaline, which is compound interest needs time, not adrenaline. Right. Give this thing time and you're not going to burn out, because if you constantly have to try and go out and rebuild your wealth, that's how you can really get burnt out pretty quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of systems out there. Auto investing, you know, auto budget, you know, apps that track budgeting and things like that. You know, having auto deposits into investments are, to me, one of the best things. And honestly, if it didn't, if 401ks didn't exist,
if they didn't,
there'd be a lot of people that would be broke right now.
Oh, I know, right?
You know, and Social Security would be the primary financial, you know, aspect of a lot of people's life.
Right.
I think
one thing I think a lot of people don't know, like actually really don't know this. They think that you have your bank account, right? And then your retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And you got two accounts. But they don't realize that there are ways to access the stocks and other things that you might have in your retirement account in something like a joint account, an individual account, a brokerage account of some sort, where it's like, it doesn't just have to sit in the bank and do nothing, right? Like, if you have a good emergency savings fund, and then maybe you get an inheritance or something, and you've got a chunk of money that can go make you more money, there are ways that you can open a, like a brokerage account or something, put money in there, and then buy stocks or bonds or whatever it is that, you know, you're aligning with to try and go and do this thing without just letting the money sit there. So, like you said, auto investing is an option, and you can do it into things like a brokerage account where it's like, well, I want to put $200 a month into the stock market, for example. I'm going to open a brokerage account and I'm just going to buy assets, right? You can do that. It doesn't just have to be your bank account or your retirement account. There is an in-between there.
Right.
So, wanted to point that out for the person who just didn't realize it, because I feel like someone listening to this show just had a light bulb moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I want people to also realize something here too. And it's that you're not lazy for choosing something that's sustainable over something speedy or that get rich quick type investment, right? Like a lot of people feel like they should be the person that only bought Tesla stock back in, you know, 2000, whatever, and held it for 15 years. Like, you don't have to try and chase what someone else's success story is. Right. And a lot of people do that. They're like, well, I want to be like my neighbor who bought his house with his earnings off of that blank stock, right? So,
again, you're chasing somebody else's path, not your own path.
Right. What is your path and how do you get there? You're not lazy if you're just trying to do something that's sustainable.
Yeah.
So. Well, Justin, do you got anything else you want to kind of talk about with this whole idea of burnout?
Yeah, and this, you know, this one's great, is everything needs rebalancing, especially you.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know, your lifestyle, your energy needs regular check-ins and adjustments, you know, to your goals, which when we spoke, you know, the last segment about, you know, writing down goals, reviewing those goals is almost just as important as writing them. Because things change,
right? And
especially when you have 2 year plus goals, they can change drastically.
Right.
You know, you end up with another child or some, you know, maybe your downsizing experiment changes, you know, really quick. And so, you know, readdressing those and, you know, rebalancing those goals and situations can make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think you sometimes have to stop and question, like, is the effort that you're putting in, like, something that you find enjoyment in?
Right.
Right? Like, a lot of people will do something, and they'll do it to earn money, but they hate it.
Right.
Right? And if you hate what you're doing...
It better be a lot of money.
It better be, yeah. Like, that's a really quick way to burn out. And so... You know, ask yourself, is the effort that I'm putting in right now worth the output? That mm-hmm. is a really big question that you have to ask yourself. Is my labor worth what is, you know, coming out of that labor? And if the answer is no, you got to really pause and look around and say, well, you know, do I need to pivot here? That's a real thing, because if you're burnt out, I think it gets really hard to be happy.
It does.
Yeah.
And are you growing in a way that's energizing, or is it exhausting? You mm-hmm. know, to kind of piggyback on what you just said.
Right.
You know, and a lot of time when you're working, especially outside of the home, you know, you're giving up some things, you know, time with your family and things like that.
Right.
And if it's exhausting for you to do mm-hmm. and the family time is more energizing, then there needs to be a change somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
And not saying that some people don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it means not now, it really means not yet.
That, I think, is a really, really big piece.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be now, right? But it can be something that you're eyeballing in the future.
Yeah. Maybe so, not now, not never.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, Justin, let's do this. Why don't we take our last break here? And when we come back... Let's talk about, I'm going to keep it a secret. I'm going to keep it a secret. If you want to know the very cliffhanger moment of this whole show, you got to hold on for a couple minutes while we go to break. So when we get back, you're going to hear all the cool stuff that you want to hear. So stick around. This is Matt Dixon.
And Justin Brueggemann.
And you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where hopefully we finish this show up and have enough time to talk about NFL free agency, because so much stuff is going on right now. Justin.
They're making too much money.
Yeah. What was it? 3 years, 40 million or something?
3 years, 69 million.
Yeah. Something. Some crazy number for
Congratulations,
Stephon. Yeah. Like, going to the Patriots, you're not going to win any games, but gosh dang, you're going to make a lot of money. Okay. So how do we relate
upset a couple Patriots fans?
Yeah, I know. How do we roll that back into the show, right? Like
the power of living wealth now.
Yes, the power of living wealth now. I was going to lead into this talking about how you don't actually have to wait for a certain number to live richly. And I think Stephon Diggs is a perfect example of that. He's like, you know what? I don't need to wait till I'm 59 and a half to retire. I'm going to go get my 60-something million over the next 3 years. I'm not going to win any games, but that's okay. I'm going to get the bag. So I think, how do we relate that back to you? I think that you can – Justin's over here laughing at me. I think a lot of people – and I – you know – are guilty of saying, well, I'm going to really live it up once I retire, right? Uh-huh. Like, that's when I'm really going to start having fun. And I just kind of caution against that, because does your health fail you at that point, right? Like, that's a real concern. How many people have mm-hmm. you seen that they go to retire and then their health gives out? See it all the time, right? And so I think one of the things that you really got to do is look at where you're at financially and ask yourself the question, can I have a rich lifestyle, a wealthy lifestyle right now in this moment? And it doesn't mean that you go and spend a ton to do
right.
it. That's the caveat, right?
It's about, like, the true wealth moment.
The true wealth, right, is the experiences, the family time, all of the other things that, you know, we find valuable, and using using ways to expand upon that. And mm-hmm. so I think it starts with advancing your mindset, right? And getting into this place where you can think about your family and not just your wealth, and think about the memories and the freedom that you can have, not just the accumulation of things.
This one's great. Is what would it look like to use money to make your life more whole, not just more full?
Ooh, I like that. More whole, not just full. Yeah. That is a good one.
Yeah, and it's about, I guess we are just going to go back. It's the full True Wealth Show. That's mm-hmm. what we're going with is, you know, redefining wealth beyond money, the deep friendships, quiet mornings, I don't know what those are, you know, meaningful work, and the time with your kids.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will have this tendency to defer joy, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're like, I can't be happy right now because this is the time where I've just got to go, 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 go. And I'll challenge that with, I think that joy is a mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think joy is very, very different than happiness. I think there's going to be stages of your life where you are not happy. In fact, you're the exact opposite. You're miserable. But at mm-hmm. the same time, you have joy, right? Because maybe you have a higher calling that's behind things. You have family that's behind things, kids. There's a lot of different things that you can have that bring you joy, good relationships and, right. and you know, friends. Friends are often way overlooked in all this. We've touched on family a lot, but
right.
having a good
family,
friend
children.
Group. Yeah, family and kids. But those really, really good friendships mean a lot, right? Yeah. And being able to take the time to go and spend time with your friends is a big deal.
And the most important friendship is the one with your wife.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In case she's listening, got to throw that out there.
You know what? Justin just scored a bunch of brownie points.
If you were
listening and caught that, Justin, if he was in the doghouse, he no longer is. Lots of brownie points.
Great too. Is build for your family, not instead of being with them.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real big one is because it goes so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, is Mike almost two now?
Yep.
Like,
Full sentences. Yeah. And it seems like, yeah. That was just yesterday. And so you've got to figure out ways to put your time where you want to put it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you really want? You have to sit down and you have to ask yourself that question, because we have people that come into the office all the time and they're like, all right, I've got all the money and I'm ready to do this thing. And then we're like, cool, okay, what is the thing that we're doing? And then they just like, You can see them right. just like completely like, oh my gosh, wait a minute, I don't actually know. And then there's this long, almost like coaching process. Do you ever feel like a life coach, Justin? Where it's like,
sometimes we have to convince people to spend money, which is a very weird concept. And, mm-hmm. you know, considering what we do, but it's like, you can't take it with you.
Right.
You know, and there's other things, you know, to plan for is, you know, medical events and things like that, which can put a huge damper in some plans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it really kind of focuses, there's kind of the three pillars is you have time, money, and energy.
Right.
And you typically never have all three at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while you're working full time, having children, your time part is suck. You have the energy, sometimes have the money. But then sometimes in retirement, the energy piece goes away.
Yeah.
You get the time, the money, and no energy.
Right.
And so that's why even, you know, in retirement, there's a window of where people have the time and energy or enough energy to go and do the things that they've been planning for. And then it kind of fades out.
This is where I'm going to make the plug for you, Justin. If you are sitting there and you're like, you know what? I need someone who can kind of walk me through some of this. A lot of what you guys said resonates with me, and I need some advice or some coaching through this. Justin, do you want to talk about how they reach us?
Yep. You can call the office, 541-375-0898, or you can email info@littlejohnfs.com or go to our website, littlejohnfs.com.
Are we going to start running the meter on them right when they walk through the
nope.
door?
nope, just come in and let's have a conversation, and okay. then we can go from there.
So we're not running the meter. We just want to get a chance to see if there is an avenue to help you. Justin, do you want to talk a little bit about what we actually do? I think a lot of people think we just are radio show hosts, right? So can you talk a little bit about the firm, like what an average day might look like for us in helping people?
It can be chaos.
It can be, especially around tax season.
You know, right? We do everything from investment management to financial planning to distribution planning, some estate planning, you know, kind of with quotations because we're not lawyers.
A lot of people don't know what estate planning is, and I'll just plug that. Wills, trusts, stuff like that, right? Where it's like you want your kids to be able to navigate your passing a little bit easier than maybe like a probate court or something like that. So that's the estate planning piece. What else?
And typically when that gets brought up, it's somebody that's gone through it too without a will or a trust.
Everyone's dealt with that at some point in their life, right? Where they've had someone pass and then they look at things and they're like, wow, like this is a real headache trying to get assets retitled, trying to get bank accounts. Like that's that trust land that can potentially help mitigate some of that, right? Depending on the circumstances. But
if you need help, you know, with that stuff, even if we can't help you, we can turn you to the direction of somebody who can.
Perfect. Okay. Justin, I'm going to guess that we're out of time. So if you stuck around and listened, thank you. We're going to get out of here and go find some tacos because it's a Tuesday. But you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Thank you. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.